call the Board of Supervisors for Wednesday, July 1st, order at 8:46 on the clock. We'll begin with the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
The Open Meetings Act is on the wall to my left. Attendance by observation, Jergens, Hill, Bauman, Thiemann, Dorn, Byers, and Lytle. Up first is the consent agenda, approve the general agenda, approve minutes of the meeting held June 17th, 2020, approve all claims through July 1st, 2020 in the amount of $425,993.46, approve and place on file correspondence received, approve district court summary fee report and register of deeds fee report for the month of June 2020, approve utility permit number 1151 for Northern Natural Gas. They'll be boring 3-inch diameter, 10 foot below the bottom of the ditch and under county and township roads at 4 different sites to run cathodic protection rectifier cables. Site number 1 is in the southeast quarter, southeast quarter section 5 and southwest quarter section 4, township 4 north, range 7 east, Logan Township. Site number 2 is located in the northeast quarter, section 35, and northwest quarter, section 36. Township 6 north, range 7 east, Nemaha Township. Site number 3, located in the northwest quarter, section 8, and southwest quarter, section 5. Township 6 north, range 8 east, Adams Township. Site number 4, located in the northwest and southwest quarter, section 7. Township 2 north, range 6 east, Sicily Township. Approve utility permit number 1152 for Norris Public Power District. They'll be boring an electric utility crossing 5 foot below the bottom of the ditch under County Road for 66 feet for a 7.2 kilovolt electric line encased in 2-inch flex core pipe, core flex pipe to provide service for a new home located approximately 1,770 feet west of the northeast corner of Section 14. In the southeast corner, 11, Township 4 North, Range 7 East, Logan Township. Approve utility permit number 1153 for Norris Public Power District. They'll be boring an electric utility crossing 5 feet below the bottom of the ditch under Township Road for 66 feet for a 7.2 kilovolt electric line encased in a 2-inch core flex pipe to provide service to a farmstead located approximately 1,122 feet east of the northwest corner of Section 26 and southwest corner of Section 23, Township 2 North, Range 8 East, Island Grove Township. Approved chairman signing letter of engagement for audit services with the state auditors for fiscal year ending in June 30th, 2020.
I would move to approve consent agenda.
Second.
Moved by Byers, second by Dorn. Any discussion on any of the consent agenda items? Seeing none, vote. 7 in favor. Motion carries. Regular agenda, comments from the public and requests for future agenda items. This will be comments from the public for anything regarding the Board of Supervisors meeting. If you could give us your name and address for the record. Good morning. Happy July to everybody.
My name is Emily Haxby. I live at 8867 Southwest 86th Road in Claytonia. On behalf of myself, neighbors, the Gage Wind Alliance, Prairie Wind Watchers, and concerned citizens of Gage County, I wanted to let you know that we're also waiting for our text amendment to be heard. It was submitted almost 16 months ago on March 4th, 2019 by Larry Alder. We spent over a year asking Planning and Zoning Board to get the amendment brought up here to you. We're finally able to establish a public hearing before COVID shut down everything. I know that moving forward is tricky with current circumstances, but we ask that our amendment be heard before any special permits related to this regulation change are accepted. There is tremendous support from Gage County residents for this text amendment. Industrial wind turbines have a direct impact on our taxpayers for generations to come. We ask for your support in ensuring our text amendment receives fair consideration and discussion.
Thank you. Anyone else would like to speak at public comment?
keep your peace.
All right. Committee reports. Building and grounds, winter lights.
We don't have anything unusual.
Equalization. Finance and insurance. Mr. Jurgens.
Mr. Chairman. Large ticket items. Beatrice Concrete, Sand and Gravel, Rock and Gravel, $40,045.93. Rock on hauling. Township material, basically gravel, $12,129.29. And finally, City of Blue Springs, Grant Johnson Cabin, Cabin Museum Preservation, $19,000. John will have more as well, Rat, coming up on the township allocations and those things like that.
We also, John, do you want to take insurance?
No, I don't have one.
We met with the insurance company. It looks like we will have a recommendation coming up. That will be an approximate 6% increase to the insurance coverage we had countywide for county health insurance from last year. Some of that takes into account trying to hedge some guesses as to potential health concerns with COVID-19 as well.
I guess one comment I would make on that, there was no changes to our health insurance plan for the employees, and therefore dealing with the COVID situation, there'll be no lunch meeting to explain things because there are no changes in coverage.
Human resources, employee relations.
Nothing.
Law enforcement, emergency management. Good morning, Sheriff.
Good morning, morning, Mr. Chairman. How are you doing, everybody?
Wonderful.
Really, one thing out there that I want to make sure everybody's aware of, starting today, we're moving to Phase 3 for the office. So, I mean, basically, the door will remain locked, but we're going to allow in-house visitation for any population now. And so, when a public comes and goes, they do have to have a mask on or scarf something for a covering. And we'll still continue to ask the questions, health questions, travel questions, and take temperatures when you get in. But that's the main thing for us, is people know to have that with them wherever they come in, because we're going to deal with a lot of different people coming. Keep remote visitation going. We've been pretty lucky at not having any peep show, so to speak. So I'm going to keep that going there. But for the engine population, I am going to open back up so they have visitation. So about it.
Thank you, Sheriff.
Thank you.
I guess emergency management probably had some calls, water over the road, as we had different rain. And
I can talk about that a little bit. Yes, the last couple of weeks we have had some damage, you know, and especially in the northern part of Gage County, mostly crop. And then with a lot of the high winds that we had Sunday night, a lot of green snap and corn seemed like to hit the same location up there in the northern part of the county that it did before, the week before. As far as damage to the county, I know Gavin's probably talked a little bit about the roads, you know, just here in Gage County before, but the city of Beatrice more or less had more damage down in the park area just because of the rapid rise of Cub Creek. So along Enron and in through Cove Nitrogen had up to 11 inches of rain in that short period of time, and so that ended up filling up Cub Creek, which through a new dynamic in it, and as I'm told by National Monument or by Engler, that hasn't happened since 83. So, as far as the COVID side of it, we are up to 50 cases, of which the last four have been identified as young, what I consider to be young now, anywhere from 20 to 40 years of age. So, so we know that there is some reoccurrence coming in. And then in order for the retirement homes or the assisted care facilities to go back into their phase operation, they are being required to test. So they are doing that testing right now. So we'll start to see those results come in, too, probably over the weekend. So.
Do you, with the Public Health Solutions, do you track any severity of cases with people of different
age groups? It's not privy to my information. In terms of recovery rates, you know, from our first go-around when it affected more so the assisted care facilities, we did. But I do not have information on this most recent, because we're not under day 14 yet. We're about, I think, 12 or 13, so that recovery rate hasn't been established yet.
Is the news media coming to you for the information relative to what they're putting on, or who are they coming to?
That comes directly from the Department of Health and Human Services and from Public Health Solutions. My information, okay. As soon as we have a positive in our case, they let us know, identify the male, female, the age, and general location, but that identity is not given to us at this particular point. So.
Okay, I figured it was probably Public Health Solutions, but I wasn't sure if they contacted you.
Yeah, no, all the information, guidelines, and so forth comes from HIDRA.
A PHS does contact you, though, right away anytime there's a case in our area.
Absolutely, and if there would be a specific pod of outbreak, we would assist with that, with notification and help with the tracing. But the tracing contracts have been coming in. Contract tracing is now more in place than what it was, you know, 2 months ago. Whereas they have hired the medical corps and also individuals to help with that contact tracing. And they really use that up in Slane County, you know, when they had a lot of contract tracing to do. So.
Thanks, Lisa.
Yep.
Road and Bridge, Mr. Hill.
The last fall allotment for the township has been started on, and rock and gravel continue to both be very short in waiting lines for most of the time. We discussed an easement requested by the City of Beatrice for the county yard on 11th Street, discussed the materials to move out of the way and sent a cost to the city for them to consider. Eddie had asked about a culvert on 138th and Oak, and it says washed out, but I think it just basically blocked with trees and brush and that type of thing. And then I also discussed how a lot of our ditches have really filled in, and a lot of our damage occurred from the water not even getting to the culvert. They were damaged going down the side of the road. That's it.
All righty, and that easement we talked about is later on the agenda. The city didn't have work sessions, so that'll come back on the later agenda for potential easement. Approve or disapprove community-based juvenile services grant documents and authorize chairman to sign the grant documents. Roger, is this one you want to take?
Yeah, basically these are our annual grants that we get through the Crime Commission. Christina Lyons, our diversion coordinator and MAP coordinator, puts these grant requests together. She's done so for several years. And I would add, it does an excellent job in securing that money through the Crime Commission to use for like our diversion program, the tutoring program at the schools. They've got a new suicide group that started at the middle school and is now moving into the high school. Does an excellent job with the kids. So again, without getting into a bunch of details tonight, I'm sure Christina planned on being here, so I'm not sure what the holdup is there. But I would strongly support your consideration of these grants and authorize the signature.
What this program has done for us has been absolutely fantastic for Gage County, and we need to continue to support this. And as you'll see, the state grant basically covers our costs. And so I would move to approve the chairman signing the juvenile services grant document and approve the grant.
Second. Moved by Byers, second by Lytle. Anything further? I would ask you to vote. 7 in favor. Motion carries. Up next, approve or disapprove the Memorandum of Understanding regarding the use of GrantVantage, which is an online federal and state grant management system. Is this yours also, Roger?
Yeah, that basically is the MOU that goes along with the grants and helps the Crime Commission coordinate everything with our local office. So it's basically a housekeeping matter.
Just allows us to do it online?
Requires you to do it online.
Requires us to do it online.
So, most things that day, you can't talk to them, so I'll leave that alone.
I would ask for a motion.
Second.
Moved by Bauman, second by Hill, to approve the memorandum of understanding. I would ask you to vote. 7 in favor, motion carries. Up next, approve or disapprove the county health insurance plan for 2021. Like Mr. Hill said, nothing changes on this. Our self-insurance program has saved the county quite a bit of money over time. There was discussion at whether we should increase our specific deductible for the county, $5,000 per employee. We chose not to this year, just with the potential for COVID-related health care costs. The risk, Mr. Hill? Do you guys want to come in and talk about this, Brad, Amber?
Pardon me?
Do you want to come in and say anything about the, I guess there isn't any changes, but do you have anything that...
Yeah.
If you'd give us your name, address for the record, Brad. Well,
Brad Slager. I'm with Northwestern Mutual from Lincoln, Nebraska. And we did a recap on what we went over. Or did you print them out already?
I don't think everybody got one of those. That'd be great.
Thanks, Brad.
Here. Okay. Don't give Danny when he can't read.
I know.
Ooh, that was mean.
You started it.
Wasn't very nice. I apologize, sir.
You've been doing it for years. And years.
I'll give you enough.
You saw your boss make the presentation, though. Left her out in the hall.
Well, good morning. I'm also here with my associate Amber Anderson, who is the...
Amber is back there waving at all of us. She is wonderful, in case none of you knew that.
So, I didn't know, were you already discussing it, Eric? Or?
Very little. I said there weren't many changes, a little bit of an increase. Specific deductibles stayed the same.
Okay. On Monday, we met with, as Eric said, with the insurance committee and went over the current plan. And fortunately, your group is extremely healthy at this point, which is good. And discussed the options of renewal, options of other reinsurers, and this was shopped for fully insured and self-insured to approximately 10 carriers, as we usually do. This is an unusual time. Usually, reinsurers want to wait till they have a run-in close to renewal. However, because of the current situations and stuff, things are being handled a bit different. And because of your good experience, they were able to lock in the renewals, as Eric indicated. Our recommendation would be to stay with Martin. As Eric indicated, we did look at the possibility of saving you a little money to increase the specific deductible from $50,000 to $55,000 for next year, as you only had one employee within the group hit that specific deductible this year. But the savings would only be there if you had less than four hit it in the next year. And unfortunately, with the current situations and coronavirus, which you haven't had any experiences of, fortunately, I understand, those bills can hit $50,000 in one day, is our experience with others. So we decided that. So basically, what you have before you is your current plan and your renewal plan, and the basic difference is that the annual fixed costs would go from $353,379 to $374,653. I don't want to use the word very insignificant, but in the renewal business and health insurance, that's a very insignificant increase of fixed costs. Of course, the fixed cost is only one component of your plan, and your max costs are listed there too. The fortunately, the group has run very, very healthy. The wellness is very well used. The programs that you have implemented for employees to utilize cost savings measures are utilized heavily. And you were the first group that we started hosting our an annual luncheon for employee questions and so forth. And I've got to think that over the past several years of having that consistency and those meetings and availability and stuff, that people probably have been a little more aware of their situations and made healthy changes. So with that, just to be brief, are there any questions?
Where's your tie?
I left it in Eric's truck. It's parked out on the curb right next to ours.
Yeah, as long as I know where it is, so you can get it on.
Thank you for bringing that up.
And Dawn will usually say how well she does work back and forth with you all. If there are any questions, Amber's really good to work not only with her but with the employees as well.
I appreciate that. I would be not telling the truth if I didn't say with one other group recently, Amber said, well, there was also a Denny in that group. And he said, well, Amber, how much work does Brad do? And she goes, I do 99% of it. So I didn't think that was very fair of it. She said he does the talking. So anyway.
Amber does a wonderful job, and you've done a wonderful job taking care of our staff, and we appreciate it very much.
Thank you. The one other thing that I'll mention is we did talk about increasing deductibles and so forth with the group. And the consensus of that group was that it would make any changes at this time. But as we recommended, if you do make those kind of changes, it's really good to sometimes do it on a calendar year basis because people are more used to that. But you're not unlike other entities such as yourself that you try to provide good comprehensive benefits to take care of your employees.
Thanks, Brad.
Thank you. Any questions?
We will not be having a county employee lunch this year at Mr. Hill's recommendation, just not to group everyone up, just one more step to try to be careful and keep people apart. Mr. Hill's idea.
One other thing I might add is
we also didn't make any changes, Jerry. None whatsoever.
Is there any cost savings involved with that?
With what? about $7 a person.
I would move to approve our county health insurance plan for 2020-2021.
Second.
Moved by Byers, second by Bauman. Anything additional? Vote. 7 in favor. Motion carries. Thank you, Brad. We appreciate it.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you very much. Tell Amber thank you.
All right. I don't know what happened.
She's hiding in the hall.
Approve or disapprove radio maintenance contract between Gage County and First Wireless, Inc. for the term of 7-1-2020 to 6-30-2021 in the amount of $450 per month. Lisa, we've talked about this a few times. Do you have anything additional? Did they get back to us with anything else? Or I did not call them. Gary, did you give them a shout?
No, I didn't. But the more I think about this, I have a distaste for these types of contracts anyway. I just don't know that. Just don't know that there's a value in this one myself.
It's just like any maintenance agreement. There's a bunch of outs for the company. If lightning strikes, it's not covered. If our equipment is outdated, which I tend to believe the sheriff tries to buy outdated things before we get them, because as soon as you put the electronics in something, they're outdated. Does anyone have any comment on this maintenance agreement? I know Mr. Bauman loves radios.
we have a clear understanding of what it means not to have it? We're going to get service when we need it?
Our service would be just like it is now. Lisa, do you want to comment on that? Because we don't have a maintenance agreement currently, but we have all the same equipment.
So, yeah, as far as the maintenance agreement itself, whenever something goes down, technically on the other side of it, dispatch also knows if something's not working. However, all the new repeaters are on real time, and so they can actually, that's the difference, is they have the big screens up there in Lincoln. They're continually watching so they can tell if transmission, something happens to a repeater because it's not getting the data to come in. So technically, you're looking at 7 new repeaters that would have real-time capabilities, but that maintenance agreement also included the old repeaters coming down and just double-checking. So yeah. As far as service, I mean, First Wireless has always been very good since I started with timely service.
So the city also, even though they have a lot more equipment, their maintenance agreement, we have some of it that's going to be redundant. Because of the...
On the switch end.
On the switching.
It, yeah, not on the repeater side.
The city's agreement is for $352 a month, if I remember right.
$413, I believe. $413. But they had a lot of other components, you know, that needed to be checked. So that is on the receiving side.
So without the agreement, is it such that the only way we're going to know that a repeater has failed is either that you've done a test on it, or you had a failed communication.
That is correct.
So we wouldn't know until we had a failed communication for the most part.
That is correct.
On 2 of the 7?
No,
isn't there only 2?
On the ones that are on the new repeaters that are on real time now. So there's not that access, 24-hour, 7 access. So a good, for instance, is like down at Barnston, doesn't have a temperature-controlled cabinet. And so in the winter months, a lot of times the gentleman, the caretaker, will put a heater in that particular facility just to make sure nothing freezes. And I'll get a call, you know, 10 o'clock or 11 o'clock at night saying, hey, there's something going on there, overheating. If I run down there, it's terribly hot. So that is something that could save a repeater. But
who called you on that?
First Wireless did, Mark Bartek.
So this is something they've done for us all this time, but now they're going to start charging
us for it? Just when we had the one repeater that we were trying out, that was prior to purchased it. So, yeah. That's what we were trying the Barnston Link.
But without a contract, if we don't do this contract, we have a problem, we just call and have them come in to service whatever issue that we have, right?
That is correct. It would be on it. Call basis.
Okay. I just don't see any reason to have a contract. We can call them when we need them.
But the only reason I see is that we're not going to know that a repeater is down until we have a call that went to that area that fails. And then we're going to know it's down.
Hypothetically, if we have a call that goes to an area and that repeater is down, do we have redundancies in place where we can go around that?
Not for talk to talk. Page My Cell is how fire districts would receive the notification that a call's gone out. But as far as when they go to talk, and then keep in mind we have the sheriff's office, that particular repeater belongs to the sheriff's office in the Barnston side. So they don't have Page My Cell at this particular time. They talk to talk radio-wise. And so they wouldn't have that access until they moved out of that particular zone and caught another repeater. So,
what's your thoughts on the need for this maintenance agreement?
So understanding real time, you know, being able to access, always know what's going on within the investment that you've made. To me, it makes sense. Sorry, but yet I respect the fact of trying to, you know, we've had great service with them, but we don't know the capabilities or of the rotor turbo repeater yet, and then it's just keeping intact on real time, basically.
Another way to look at this, basically this agreement pays for one repeater a year. Are we going to get our money's worth out of that? Is there enough protection that we're going to go through one repeater a year?
if your call of service involves public health and safety, that's to me where you need to be most concerned. You know, if something would happen that a deputy wasn't able to make a call out, that always raises concern because you've affected the public health and safety of who's ever involved. That to me is number one priority.
And there's no redundancy, so if they're down there and the repeater's out,
if they make a call down there, so I'm talking only on the sheriff's side right now, because right now that's the only repeater we have at that site. However, on real time, should a fire district, you know, decide to, like at Wymore, that particular real repeater is also on the real time or a new repeater, so they're analyzing that too. So.
But that's not going to, this contract isn't going to keep us from having failures in communication. It's just going to tell you you're having a failure.
If a call of service comes in, Gary, and we don't have an antenna that's working, mm-hmm. we might not know that until we get called down to that particular area, and there could be a week's period of time when you don't know if something's not working until you've got a call of service down there.
The communications will know that, won't they?
Not if a call of service, no.
Not until they have
a call of service, because they're not technically doing, you know, the testing portion of it. Because so, they don't see the real time. So.
Okay. It makes sense. I mean, that's the selling point, is the safety factor.
I would agree, maybe the contract shouldn't be required, but it is, and what we have invested in the system, I think we need to do this to complete it, keep it complete.
What's the frequency that they would come down and test the system?
Help me out. I'm not sure I understand.
They monitor it remotely.
They monitor it remotely 24/7. So, and then there's call alerts if they get to their phones or that call person actually. If there's a temperature change or an electrical or a lightning outage, they get that alert that comes to that service tech right away. So then they would call down to dispatch stating, we suspect, and then give you, I think, that 2 to 3 hour timeline as to when they can get down here. So, but they would be most likely be the ones first on the new repeaters that would know if something wasn't working.
Have we had any negative issues without having this contract and what we've been doing now and in the past?
So, Denny, we've never had real-time repeaters, you know. So we've had on the old Kenwood repeat or the Kenwood radio system that was put in with Homeland Security funds, you know, 16, 17 years ago. Those were, you know, you use them until something happens, I think, and then the call is a service, a lot like what we're operating at right now. So, but technology has changed, opportunities have changed, and this is the difference in real time. But no, I haven't, in my experience. We have had outages, you know, and we've had antennas get hit, you know, and so to the best of my recollection, it's been 5-6 days before we knew that we had, and they've been in the southern part of Gage County, that we knew we had, you know, something out. We also had someone utilized their shotgun up at Pickerel. So, you know, that was something that we didn't catch right away until call of service came to that day.
So we're batting around less than $15 a day for roughly 22,000 people, or at least it's kind of monitored. So.
And a very significant investment.
Yep.
Mr. Lyle?
So my question for Gus is we've spent hundreds of man hours, millions of dollars, and Lisa's telling me that we don't have redundancy with our communications for you on the south end of the county.
Well, we've kept the SRS radio system. And I wish Chief was here. He was more on that than I was, but we can use that system, but it's not set up the way it was before, if I remember correctly. Is he talking at all about how that works on the SRS?
Sure. We could utilize the radios, you know, right, for that. And then they can do a patch at dispatch and connect us that way. so.
So we have the radios, if we might as well keep them for that. It won't be the statewide type, but it'll be at least locally we can get something done on it.
So, but also some of those areas in the southern part of the county, you have trouble with the
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah.
It doesn't reach there. That's the reason.
That's right about the worst place we have in the county, southeast. Yeah.
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 So with the new radio communications that we have, what is the safety for our guys and the county if a repeater goes down there? How are you going to communicate?
It's through the SRS, and I don't work, then there's probably nothing else. You know, you're only going to have so much redundancy, you're done. In the days past, we had the old 399. That's all we had, a whip antenna. And we had less problem then than we have now, but that is what it is. But, you only go so far in redundancy, and then that's cell phone, and sometimes you don't have reception on that either down south.
Right.
So you hope it doesn't happen very often, but it certainly could.
Yeah,
well, sure. It did. That's why I went away from the SRS.
Yep.
And I got an officer killed, so.
Further discussion on this radio maintenance contract.
I would move to approve this contract.
Okay. Moved by Hill, second by Bauman. Any further discussion? $15 a day, $200,000+ investment. I would ask you to vote. 7 in favor, motion carries.
I'd also say it might be something we should have discussions with the first wireless prior to next year, whether this contract is necessary.
Would it be fair to say this is used primarily by the sheriff's department?
So as far as the radio is concerned, the existing repeaters that we have in place, there would be only one repeater at this particular time that would not be used by the sheriff's office. But as fire departments move forward with doing their upgrades, then repeaters could be added. So
it might be something that the sheriff wants to share some of his budget to help us with.
Mike's the key on that.
Up next, approve or disapprove 1% increase for the lid on restricted funds. This comes up every year. This is not saying that we will increase that lid. It gives the opportunity in the case of an emergency to where it could be increased. More procedural than anything else. We have not used that I know of. But we always put this up every year just in case.
Statute required to approve it beforehand.
You do it now or you never do it.
Right.
Thank you, Counselor.
Move to approve.
Second.
Moved by Lytle, seconded by Dorn. Discussion. Vote, please. 7 in favor. We'll wait on this next one. Next item was approve or disapprove granting the City of Beatrice an easement to install sanitary sewer main on Gage County's property at 11th and Caldwell, kind of a storage yard we have. They're wanting to put a sanitary sewer line through there. We talked about this Monday and put a price to it. Galen came up with a number of what it would cost to move our material that's there out of the way, allow the city to work. The city did not have work session the last Monday of the month, so I'll talk to the city administrator and carry over what committee asked. It was basically cost of moving it $4,000 to $4,500 plus putting up a piece of fence for us. I think that was all we talked about.
One other thing, and I know here about a year or so ago I talked to Galen about this. There's a lot down there that basically our employees use that's owned by the city, as I understand it. And we were approached, maybe you guys would like to, this might be the time to work that out. Hate to use the word quid pro quo, but it has a whole different meaning nowadays.
Where's that lot located?
Just south of the existing shop building.
Well, that's a city lot?
Yeah. They let us use it to, if we keep the weeds down and et cetera, maintain it, they let us, and we can use it.
This might be an idea to clean it up. The other thing is, when they said something to the effect about we'll work out the timetable for moving the materials when they put their pipeline in. I think Galen probably needs a little bit of time. They can't just pull the crews out there and move that stuff. So it'd be helpful to at least have a timeline in there that Galen's notified so that he can get the crews arranged.
And he thought August, in the month of August, would be good, if I remember correctly.
One thing we never did talk about is the present gate into the yard is our only access into there, and so we'd have to have some kind of access during the construction, because we do get a lot of culvert pipe out for the township to itself and steel. So
I'd probably have, once we figure this out, I'll have either Tobias or I suppose Steve Kelly put the sanitary sewer in also? Or that might be a contractor. We'll figure that out, who's going to put that in, and timetables and stuff. The problem with swapping things out, Galen's so short of space down there right now, that's kind of an odd-slivered piece down there. And he has a pretty well full of gravel and pipe. But we'll wait on that. I'll talk to the administrator. Next item, approve or disapprove resolution to study the existing zoning regulations related to wind energy. You each have a copy of this in front of you. The currently, we're not taking any special use permits for wind or any other purpose. So any special use, do you want to elaborate on this at all, Lisa? We voted to suspend that.
Sure, yeah, you have suspended that. As I shared with you the last time in that committee, I do have two special use permits that are, have the early assessments have been, we'll have two permits that could be most possibly a special use permit. We have not accepted those to this point, and they would like some direction, you know, as to how soon, and some of them may have contacted you too, so we can move forward. But at this time, you guys had board action to not allow me to have any special use permit come in.
This resolution, the intent of it was to start taking permits again, allow, I guess, going into this COVID crisis, we had a text amendment to wind regulations that had come in. The process had started. It got stopped. I believe an amendment or a request for a change to regulations came in over a year ago. I can't remember the month off the top of my head. Do you remember when that came in, Lisa?
So you mean when Larry Alder's application came in? It's longer than that. So March, wasn't it?
March,
when
I'm sorry.
Down, and March. Then we went through review with county attorney as to our process of properly notifying landowners who we knew we had a sizable amount of wind easements that were already granted in Gage County. So we asked for the county attorney to review our process of proper notification as we move forward with. Typically, we notify people within the one-mile jurisdiction, so that's kind of where it laid. We had March 10th is when the last time that zoning met, and that was a meeting that we had a large number of individuals that were here. Some of you were also here when we talked about, again, the amendment. We didn't have a hearing for it at that time, but keep in mind, all through that time, we have been looking at wind regs and setting wind regs, but not specifically stating the amendment, the taking in effect, what was written in the amendment. So we had the meeting on March 10th, and after several people testifying, lengthy review, the motion was made by our board to go to public hearing with that particular amendment, and we set that for April 14th. And so one of the things that night that we didn't get done, we've been working trying to get our solar regulations completed. as we move forward. And so after the board chatted, you know, they wanted to get things done before the planting season started. And so we thought possibly we could add another meeting prior to that April 14th meeting. After the next day, I believe we received notice that from Roger Harris that there were some things that we need to make sure we included in the next meeting agenda that specifically stated that we needed to have a wind that we were going to bring up for the hearing, the wind amendment process. So I was able then, taking that into consideration, I was able to schedule the consensus from the board to have another meeting, call a meeting. We publicized it for, I believe, the 31st of March, and then COVID came. So we were going to plan first priority with solar regs, but then do the necessary things we needed to do to be able to move the public hearing for to hear the text amendment on the 14th. So that's where we're at. We haven't not met since then. So.
And our zoning regulations, do you remember when they were changed last? What year?
Well, we've been reviewing them through that whole process where we were working on comp plan and so forth. And at that particular time, we had no opposition to what we had in place. We had reviewed, different issues that we had come up, if anything, from the Still Flats project, and we had done. So I don't have an exact date, but it would have been the adoption of the comp plan and then our revision of the regulations.
Would it have been similar in time to the comprehensive plan?
Yes, it would have been.
Would August of 2018, would that be the most current?
What do you have on your little setup? Oh, wait a minute. So the last revision was January 2019.
January of 19.
Yeah, okay. So that's when we worked on the comp plan and completed that.
So I've got an old one again. So the there was an amendment request over a year before we got to, P&Z got to talk about it again. Once they received information back, they started moving swiftly, but they were stopped. The intent of this resolution was basically a mirror of another NACO prepared resolution. The intent was to allow P&Z and the Board of Supervisors to move forward on that specifically, wind and not solar written in this, but assuming that solar would continue also, but wind specifically. And that way that could start moving forward again, that process to allow the people to have their voice and the wind developers to have their voice moving through the process period without a application in play. And it says specifically in here, the same as another county where they dealt with this, since there is a potential for a project application, they felt it was better to go through the process without an application on the books. And that was the intent here, was to allow the process to start playing out again without an application on the books. I talked to council this morning. I guess I would like to see things move forward where we can get things started again, get the process started again. I also agree that we should probably do that without a without a application on the books. It's a lot cleaner. If we don't do anything now, council, and correct me if I'm wrong, Roger, to make a resolution like this, we have to have a public hearing to allow us to have a resolution like this? Did I understand that right?
I think any time that you're trying to, quote unquote, suspend or cancel your own laws, you better have a public hearing on it. And that's assuming it's legal. There's various opinions out there in the state right now, including the AG, that say that's questionable. I personally don't want to be on the receiving end of a lawsuit that is going to bring that question up before a court, which is probably where it's going to, and whether it's this county or another county. You talked about that one county you're referring to. They didn't, as I recall, I don't know if they even had a comp plan at that time. But again, every case is unique. I just think when you have, the issue is going to be the same, whether you have an application or not. And I know Lisa's been working as Eric to try to find a place logistically we can hold a meeting that's going to have at least 100 people. That last time we were down there at PNC, I guess might have had a head count, but I think it was pretty close to 100 people. Well, we got to space them out, we got to have restroom facilities, yada, yada, yada. That is a little more difficult, as we found out, trying to find a place here in Gage County that can hold that number and still allow people to hear and take an active role in it. And then due process requires that, no matter what we do. And that's the challenge. But my point would be that whether you have an application or not, it's going to be the same questions. And I think that will help if we can get that place located, set the hearing. And I realize you've got, how many people you got on your P&Z board?
Seven.
Seven. So you got to get seven schedules together so you can have a quorum and address this in a public hearing, this Alder's Amendment, and take a vote, or take action one way or another to make the recommendation to bring it before this board.
And something else I want to bring up too during the P&Z meeting, I think they thought they were limited to anything in that amendment. I guess that amendment doesn't mean anything to me. Once we open zoning up, we're looking at anything, not just what he brought up. I used the example Monday, if somebody wants to make an amendment that they're red and white with ends on the blades, that's open for discussion too. So when we open up regulations, we're opening up regulations.
You've got to give notice to the public. If you're going to put ends on, there may be some people in the southern part of Gage County that kind of like KSU.
That may cause more problems than the one with the farmers themselves. I guess the intent is to move forward.
The idea is you got to give people notice what's going to be discussed. Now, you can say we're going to look at everything, you know, which is what was done back in 2017 through 2019. I think it was wide open. I think you get to a situation, I'll at least talk about that, but if you got solar and wind turbines, I realize they're similar, but that'd be a pretty big meeting, wouldn't it, as far as trying to deal with both of them?
With all due process, if we have the amendment meeting or the hearing for that, I think I could get, depending upon what the board's position is here, I have one other potential hearing that could also happen that same day. We could knock that out. Should be fairly easy, I believe, with not a lot of controversy, just on early assessment. But solar needs to take some time again, so we would not get that done at the same time, in all fairness to what needs to happen through the review of the wind and the amendment.
So I'll just make some comments here. So practically speaking, unless you've been living under a rock, you know exactly what's going on in the county. There's a segment of the population, specifically in my district, which does not want wind. Not want to be for or against, but I think there's due process. I think Mr. Alder has gone through that. He and his group have waited long enough. I don't think there's anything in this amendment or this proposed resolution, rather, that does anything other than saying what the intent is to have people go through and look at that. We're providing notification. We're allowing 4 months. Again, full disclosure, Gage County Wind LLC and its parent company, NextEra Resources, sent off an email last night. It's a public document. It came into public offices. In that document, it talks about, and I'm summarizing here, I'm sure you can get the original from Don, talks about, I think, my opinion, it implies that the intent is to ban commercial wind energy in Gage County. That's not what this talks about. And in this letter, there's a line here that I surmise is for this group, they're clamoring for due process, but they, in my opinion, they're denying somebody else their due process. We've got a board that's hard to get together. Global pandemic has prevented them to do so. It's something additional that they do. There's been, and this room was filled not that long ago, giving feedback to that board and those who attended from this board, so we know that there's some explanation there based on the size and the scope and how this is going to affect people. So I don't think that this is bad, but when somebody sends a letter like this and creates, I believe, is an adversarial tone, citing going against state law after just having one of the biggest payouts in the Beatrice 6, who on this board wants to get into another lawsuit? But again, practically speaking, people just want to be heard and we should be able to go through the process. But in doing this, it does put the county at risk. And that's unfortunate because this job, though very important, is something else that everybody does. And I really appreciate planning and zoning because they'd get paid for nothing. And people say, in that job, what do you make? They make a difference. And to imply that this is in some way going to create a legal issue for Roger to have to deal with, for this board to have to deal with, really frustrates me. That one group on one end is clamoring for due process, though trying to deny somebody else's. I get the whole process that we need to go through, but I think that that board needs to have time to go through and look at this in deference to Mr. Alder's request and his group's request, and taking that additional time, I think there's absolute merit in that. We're not excluding anybody from the process. It's not going to be from behind closed doors. There are public meetings. In here, this group surmises that they want to be part of the process. Be part of the process. This isn't happening behind the curtains.
Can I say something?
Yes.
Thank you. I'm David Morgan with Rembold Ledfield Law Firm in Lincoln, and I represent many landowners in Gage County who support that text amendment. And I live at 3383 South 110th Road, Adams, Nebraska. And I disagree. I don't think there's a need for a public hearing on this resolution. Basically what you're saying, some background of what I do at the law firm. I represent boards like yours. For 15 years I've been in government practice. I represent cities, counties, public power irrigation districts, natural resources districts. This is my work. I'm usually on that side of the table helping the public board. There's no need for a public hearing on a resolution like this. What you're basically saying is you as a board are going to hold back on granting special use permits until you can take a look at your zoning. And in a county where there is no zoning, there's a question about that. In a county where there is zoning, there's no question that you can do that. All you're saying is we're not going to grant a special use permit until there's time to review our regulations. That's all this is saying. So don't let the word moratorium scare you. I think that's just is a way of saying we're going to hold off and take some time. This has been on file for a year, almost a year and a half. So I think it's time that it gets taken a look at. I know that you all serve in a volunteer capacity. It's a difficult job, and we appreciate that very much. I know what you all do for a living and what you do in your service, and the planning commission as well. So I think it makes sense that with a topic like this, with the controversy that there is around this topic, to take some time, have the planning commission take some time, review the regulations. And I think I understood it's been about 4 years since your regulations have been looked at in this capacity. And if NextEra has presented you with a legal opinion or a legal email about this issue, I'd like to have equal time. And I'd like to have the opportunity to present you with what I think about this process. And should I submit that to the county clerk or to you directly, or how should I do that?
If you have anything that you'd like to submit, please submit it to the clerk and they'll distribute it out to us.
Okay.
Can you tell us again who you represent?
I represent many landowners in Gage County who support this text amendment. So I understand there's been a long process here for several months before I've been involved with NextEra being in the community and talking to various groups and various villages and cities and whatnot. So we'd like some equal time to present our side of the case as well. So we appreciate that. We really hope you do pass this resolution today. And if I answer any questions about anything, I'd be happy to.
I would appreciate a copy of anything you have since I represent this board.
Absolutely.
I'm sorry, Roger. I included you and all of us, I guess, when the clerk would send it up to us.
He did.
All right. Thank you. Appreciate that.
Mr. Chairman, might I have you as well?
Yes, sir. Just give us your name, David, for the record.
Sure. Good morning, Supervisors. David Levy, Barron Home Law Firm. We do represent NextEra and Gage Wind LLC. Supervisor Bauman, I'm sorry that my email bothers you. Our intent is absolutely not to deny anybody due process. We know that the text amendment is on file. As I said in the email, NextEra plans to participate in that text amendment process. We've been told all along that the text amendment will go first before any application that we might file. We haven't filed one yet. And we, again, we respect that process. We will follow that process. However, what you have before you in this resolution is a moratorium. It is an amendment to your zoning regulations to stop accepting applications for illegal use that your zoning regulations allow. It does deny my client due process, and it is a change to your zoning.
And to change your zoning, both your regulations and state law say that you have to have a notice public hearing, and it has to go through your planning and zoning commission first. So this resolution itself does not follow state law. But I think almost more importantly, I don't think it's necessary. I understand the concern, but I will assure you that, NextEra and GageWind are not trying to jump ahead of the text amendment. We know that that's going to be on your agenda first, on the Planning and Zoning Commission agenda first. It already was on April 14th. It was supposed to be. We will participate in that process, and the outcome of that process will be what it will be. But this moratorium, again, is a change to your zoning regulations, and it is a ban on making application for a legal use. And the Attorney General, in Opinion 19-008, has said that that is not something that a county can do in the state of Nebraska. So really, for legal and practical reasons, I urge you not to adopt this resolution and deny my client the due process of filing a valid application for a legal use. We've been told for the last few months we couldn't do that. We respected that based on a global pandemic. We've never been here before. I couldn't agree more that it's time to get Mr. Alder's text amendment on an agenda. Let's have the hearings. Let's have the discussion. Let's move all of this forward. Everybody has rights to due process. This resolution, with all respect, denies applicants the right to due process for whatever time period it may be. It talks about 4 months. It also talks about extending that. Again, I'll stop there, but I urge you, do not adopt this resolution. Let's move this forward. Let's let everybody participate in all of the processes, give everybody due process, and move this forward.
Mr. Hill?
Yeah. Mr. Logan, I don't understand your objection to this, because this process is going to let it go on, and it's going to all be public hearings are going to be advertised according to the letter of the law.
Right.
I mean, if we deny this today, it's just going to delay everything in our county for another 4 weeks until we can have a proper public hearing.
Our objection is that it says that we cannot file an application for a legal use that your zoning regulations permit for at least 4 months. And you're singling out one particular land use. You're not saying nobody can show up and apply for a chicken barn, whatever it might be. That's our objection to it. Again, I'm not trying to stop you or delay you. I don't want to delay you from going through the text amendment process. And I assure you, I'll be right here at whatever podium participating in that process. And we're not saying that we have a right to have our application that we haven't even filed yet go in front of Mr. Alder's application that he filed last year.
The difference is our ag setbacks are not under review at this point in time. But the text amendment is in place, and it has been for a long time.
And again, I'm not asking you not to consider that. I'm doing the opposite. But I'm saying at the same time, don't take away the due process of an applicant, whether it be my client or anybody else who's interested in building wind turbines, from filing an application for a legal use that your zoning regulations allow.
I guess along with Mr. Hill's question, I would ask if you don't want the application in front of the text amendment, are you saying that you won't file an application until the text amendment is reviewed?
No, I'm not saying that, but I'm saying that we will participate in the text amendment process in good faith, and I would think that we would wait until at least the Planning and Zoning Commission hearing on the text amendment before we file an application, because we want to see where that text amendment process is going to go.
This resolution is basically a mirror of another county, same type situation. There was an application in play. It had actually gone to planning and zoning, been approved, and gone on to the board, and that's when this moratorium was put in place. There was no conflict with that county. There's no legal issues. There were none brought, at least, to them. They said it was a really good exercise. They encouraged us to do it for a longer time period. They said the wind energy company worked well with them. For lack of a better word, the anti-wind people worked well with them. It allowed the public hearing process to go forward. I guess that is the intent. It's not a change in zoning to where it's a permanent change in zoning. It's a pause for a review of a specific item.
And with all respect, Mr. Chairman, it is a change in zoning, because right now your zoning regulations say that somebody can file an application for a special use permit for a commercial wind energy facility. This says they cannot.
That's correct.
It is a change in your zoning. And state law sets out procedures to go through when you change your zoning. And my clients and everybody else have due process to proceed under the laws that are in effect today. I suspect the county that you're talking about, although I don't know, they probably put their moratorium through planning and zoning and through that process.
It occurred after it was passed on from planning and zoning.
After the wind application was passed on. I'm saying that this moratorium needs to go to planning and zoning. If that's what you want to do, you can do that. I think it's contrary to the Attorney General's opinion, but that's really a different discussion. What I'm saying really is this isn't necessary. Please proceed with the text amendment. We will participate in that in good faith. But don't at the same time deny my clients the due process of filing an application, which currently your law allows.
Mr. Chairman, I appreciate both legal counsel and their summations, even though I may disagree with them and portions of them in context. Our legal counsel is Roger, and your comment there about you're not going to file anything, it's going to be part of the process until it's not palatable for you and you can walk in the next day and drop a permit. So, I mean, I have completely full disclosure. I appreciate that, but I guess I'm asking our legal counsel specifically regarding this, knowing that we've got an application over a year old to review, or not an application, but a text amendment. Prior to this, there's no permit on the books, but we've got a group of people that want us to go back and look.
Okay, and again, as in law, sometimes we get what we call red herring issues, and we're getting a little over the place. Okay, as I hear it, everybody's in agreement, set the older amendment as quickly as we can helpfully set it. I mean, that's important. And I think Lisa and Eric done a good job as far as finding, you know, something at the school. Now it's a matter of making sure we got a quorum that can address it. And again, those are logistics that you do the best you can with volunteers, and God bless them for that. Now, as far as, and I guess that was my concern, is everybody is willing to do this. I take Mr. Levy at his word. And I don't have any reason not to. They could have very easily have filed an application some time ago if they wanted to. They did, and I don't know why, but they did. So that one is, I understand your concern, but the issue becomes, are they grandfathered in? Let's get to them. You know, in other words, the law that we have now that we created in the past, and the board, allows these type of applications come through P&Z, have public input, depending on their action, comes up to this board, we have public hearings, a lot of input, okay? And my point would be, they're already grandfathered in if we get into a lawsuit.
Which side do you say grandfathered in? Alder's text amendment or the wind energy?
Well, the fact that they say that they were denied due process, because they've already expended, I assume, quite a bit of time, quite a bit of money. We've got a lot of people out there that have leases. So those people all come in that situation. As your legal counsel, I'm trying to avoid that, get to the heart of the matter. Are we going to extend setbacks? If we do, that's going to impact his application, the application of his client. You know, so sometimes we get the circle and wagons, and let's just get... I would recommend set the Alder thing just as quick as we can. Okay? If he files something... I don't know if it adds any detriment to the county as far as litigation. And I'm not saying he's threatened that or anything else. We could have had something already. Slane County's had their fun over there. I shouldn't speak like that. They've had their challenges over there. And I think they're still waiting for a decision on that one, aren't they?
No, but the judge ruled.
What's that?
The judge ruled in favor of the county.
Okay, all right. Thank you. But that would be my suggestion. I understand where you're going on this. This just creates another issue for somebody to argue in court. You to stop me from a right I have. I don't think it matters whether he's made an application or not. Because the word grandfather, and I understand what you're saying, the issues are going to be the same when we get in front of the board. That's why I was asking Lisa how much time, how many issues you want to have in front of the P&Z board at the next meeting when we can get them all together. I mean, there's only so much seven people can sit through. But
as the motion said, they were wanting to go on to hold a public hearing to hear the text amendment. That was at all.
Right,
that
right.
was the intent of the motion.
For the April meeting, that was just
yes,
a text.
That
okay, that's fine. Then I think.
Which is prior to any application. So I guess with this resolution, I think this moves things along faster. If this doesn't pass, I would still say we don't accept applications and we push it down the road until we have additional hearings.
But what are you going to do if they don't give you a decision in 2 months? So you're trying to dictate to a
I'm trying to dictate
board.
To that board to speed this along and move forward.
If
we're going to wait, I mean, we keep waiting forever.
And Mr. Chairman, with all respect, again, we want the text amendment to move along as well. We want the process to move along as well. We didn't file an application for the last few months. We could have. We were asked not to because of the pandemic. You closed your planning and zoning operation to all land uses, right? Now the state is opening back up, and you're proposing to keep it closed only to one land use. There's no basis for that. For you to deny somebody the right to apply for a legal use that your zoning regulations allow is a clear denial of due process, especially when that only has to do with one particular land use. It is a moratorium. There's no other way to say it. And it is a scary word. And quite frankly, my client is frustrated because we've been patient, we've been respectful, and what do we get for it? A potential moratorium with no clear end date. It says right in there it can be extended against only the land use in which my client engages. It's not right. My client is frustrated as well. Don't adopt this moratorium, please, and let's move the process along. That's all we're asking.
I'm sorry, John, go ahead.
I guess my question is, you stated earlier that your client, NextEra, when they submit an application, that'll be based on the results of the hearing on Alder's amendment and what comes from that. And you'll fall into those regulations that are approved at that time.
No, that's not what I said. That's not what I said, and I want to be very clear about that. Okay, we do have a right. Your county attorney is correct. We have a right to proceed under the laws that exist on the day we file the application. What I said earlier is, out of respect for the process and because it makes sense, we would like to see at least what the Planning and Zoning Commission does with that text amendment. But if we need to file an application before this board acts on a text amendment to extend the setbacks to a mile, which would kill the project, we will do that. We have a legal right to do that. I want to be clear about that. It's the elephant in the room, whatever you want to call it. Let's put it out there.
I agree.
We want the right to do that.
You guys want the project in there, and there's a significant amount of people that don't. The people that don't filed an application to amend that, which we haven't seen yet. It's been over a year. So they've been denied due process. You, through your process, can do that.
And not if you adopt a moratorium, though.
Based on the tone of what you've sent here, which is a public record that everybody can get, mm-hmm. I believe that sets a tone that, after visiting with Roger, that I don't know that this is a good amendment to do. I think it's appropriate to try and give somebody due process, and I think that is the intent of this resolution. It's not to deny you anything. What it is to go through the process of who was first in line, which for various reasons, some of them outside of anybody's control in this room, including yours, delayed that process.
And again, we're not trying to. We will participate in the text amendment process. That's what I can tell you. But we can't just give up our rights to proceed under your law as it exists today. You went through a 2-year process to set the zoning regulations that you have today, right? And now you're saying, oh, we're not sure about that. Wait until for whatever time period and don't proceed under the opportunities we've given you under our current law. And just as a matter of law, this moratorium, and that's what it is a change to your zoning regulations, and state law requires it to go to your Planning and Zoning Commission first.
Mr. Levy, if there was a fixed time date on this, if this resolution was amended to have a fixed time on it, to where you knew instead of 4 months with extension, that at 6 months, whatever is, there has to be a decision, would you be opposed to it with that? Because I can see where, if you see a moratorium, are we going, is this going to be extended forever? Will this keep getting kicked down the road? And 3 years from now, we say, oh, sorry, we're going to extend it another 4 months. If there was a fixed time, would you have opposition to this?
Yes, I would. Because, again, my client has a right to proceed under law as it exists today. I am also telling you here in open session that my client will participate in good faith in the text amendment process. And I think it is likely that we will wait until that at least gets to the planning and zoning stage before we file an application. But no, I'm not going to give up my client's grandfather rights. I can't do that. And they shouldn't have to. They have a right to proceed under your law as it exists today. That said, again, we will participate in good faith in the text amendment process. And if there's a text amendment out there, a setback out there that makes the landowners more comfortable or the opponents more comfortable and the board more comfortable and allows a wind energy project to happen, we're open to that. We're not coming in saying, no text amendment, keep your current regulations. But without getting into the merits of that text amendment, I will also tell you there's no basis in law or science for a mile setback. And that will be our position in that process. But let's have that process. You know, you say let's have that process without sort of the sword of a potential application hanging over. That's already there. I'm standing here, right? It's clear. I'm saying NextEra is going to file an application. We can't unring that bell. Let's also have that text amendment process without the sword hanging over one party who wants to invest hundreds of millions of dollars in the county and pay property taxes and do that under your existing laws. That's at least as unfair.
And this resolution, just to be fair, when that was written by NACO for the other county, that was the exact situation. There was a potential wind developer, wind project. It was more than a potential. It was a project that actually came to fruition. But so, I mean, it was specifically aimed at that to push the pause button. I'm not a lawyer, but, I mean, if you're in business, you argue law all the time. It seems like there's as much gray in law as there is on a black and white TV. So, I mean, as one party can argue it's fair, one party can argue it's not. I would still argue that it's fair. It's been done. There's a precedent set already by another county that says there can be another moratorium set.
Be careful with that.
Using another.
There's precedents the other way. And that's why the AG was, the Attorney General was asked to step in.
But they never made a ruling on anything specific.
Yeah.
It's all gray again.
Well, that's what you have to
look. They say, but there's no actual rule. That's the tough thing for us.
Well, but you got the First Amendment.
I agree.
Is already there. It's going to be heard first.
Totally agree.
And he's agreeing with that. So no matter what you do, other than create another issue with this, and that's what my point is. It is making me work harder. I know that's not a concern, but anyhow, Mr. Alder, I'm sure, Mr. Alder here. Yeah, there you go.
Yes, sir.
His amendment is going to be first and back, okay? When we get the hearing set, and that because we had it set in April and couldn't do it, okay. So that's an agreement. Depending on what happens there, that's whatever their decision is on that, that's coming up here. Okay? As far as delay, I don't see, the only delay is going to be putting a quorum together so that they can address the Alder Amendment. Yeah.
Can I say something?
Yes, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Levy. Larry, could you give your name and address for the record?
Larry Alder, Portland, Nebraska, 2498 West Ash Road. We started this process way back, and we were told by NISA that our text amendment would go forward before any special permit could be applied for. And then we got conflicting in October. Later, we got conflicting and said, no, no, no. Any special permit will come in now, we'll go ahead of our text amendment because, Roger said, the law is the law. So we're getting conflict all the way through this whole process.
But Larry, I didn't say that the application would go ahead of yours. I said the application would come in under the existing law. And there's not a lawyer in here that won't agree with that.
So why even have our test amendment then? He puts his permit in. This wind development will go in under existing laws before our text amendment be heard. That's what you're telling me.
No. What I'm saying is that the application would be judged on the existing law at that time. If it's changed, that's another issue we're going to have to deal with.
But I guess I don't quite understand. You're telling me, well, the laws will be the same until our text amendment is heard, or maybe they will be after.
The laws haven't been changed right now. That's what I'm saying.
That's
where the frustration comes in. There's been so much time that's elapsed. When that went in, for that to take a year, I'm just going to say it's pathetic.
I agree.
It makes me mad. It should not have taken a year. There's no excuse for it. When that came in, we got it. We handed it down to P&Z right away. P&Z had to wait to figure out how to notify landowners. I'm not blaming P&Z for that at all, but I do agree that is pathetic. There's no excuse for it in a small county like ours for anything to take that long. It's taken that long, so now we're trying to figure out what to do. Now we're 15 months down the road. We're trying to figure out how to hear that without... It's trying to walk a middle ground between the potential contractor, business owner, investor, and our landowners here. I guess my opinion is, with this resolution, if we can't do something, if it can't be done today, we leave everything the way it is, and we send this to public hearing at P&Z. We kick it down another 4 months, 6 months, whatever it ends up. Talking with Mr. Bauman and the clerk and the board, the intention wasn't to stop the wind farm with this resolution. And I know that's not what you want me to say. Our job is to try to facilitate a fair process between everyone, to try to keep our opinions to ourselves for the most part and allow legal and fair process to occur. That's really what we're trying to do. The intent here was to speed this process up in a fair manner. If we can't do that, if this doesn't work, I suppose we sit on our thumbs again. We wait for this to go to P&Z. To see if it's approved, to wait, it comes back to us again. So now, instead of 4 months or 6 months, we might be sitting in these chairs looking at this exact type situation in 8 months, 6 months, 8 months. We might be in next calendar year now. If that's the choice we make, and we'll have different faces on the board at that time, we know we'll have two different members.
I understand that.
If that's the choice, if we don't want to move forward with something to start the process, landowners are upset. Owners, investors are upset. If we can't move this forward more quickly, but in a fair manner, fair to both sides, including the people that submitted things 15 months ago.
One thing with that, 15 months ago, if we had gone forward with this, our next year would not have had their ducks in a row to put in a special app. They were not ready at that time. So we had this all done process. My point is, once again, though, now if they file a special permit, it goes under existing regulations. That's what you told us all along. Has that changed?
I would agree on that. That'd be standard practice.
Okay. So then why, if you let them apply today, then why even hear our text amendment? Because it'll be for future projects only.
Well, that's
correct?
What I say.
Is that correct?
Yeah.
And they'll go in now. They're going under existing regulations.
They could have done that 6 months ago, too.
Well, about 15 months ago, they weren't ready. They haven't got their way. Well,
with the odd circumstances involved, that's where I say if we can't make something where we can move. I was hoping we could move forward more quickly.
Yeah, thank you.
If we can't do that, Mr. Bellman.
I certainly would be clear that just because the text amendment would be reviewed doesn't mean that it would be a favorable outcome.
That's something else to keep in mind.
So that is very true.
What I want is to go through that process
in an
expeditious fashion, in a time frame which you guys have been put in the back seat. Heck, you're probably in the trunk now. Mm-hmm. And you need to be back in the driver's seat because that's where you were. And I just want that to go through that process. It may not, you and your group may not be happy with the way that turns out, but at least you've got due process.
Thank you.
Thank you. And once again, we were told that we would be heard first before any special permit could be filed. When we filed our text amendment, we were told that.
And Larry, that's a really good point Matt made. As I'm saying, we want to go through this. I agree with him, go through the full process in a fair manner. That's not saying that anything will change either. That gives PNZ a chance to look at it.
And you guys also.
And us as well. And I mean, that's as you read through this, this is a temporary pause, a moratorium, a stop, whatever it is, for 4 months with potential to extend. But that's all it does is stop it, let PNZ go through their process, and let it come to us. If this is not something we can do, I guess we stay the way it is and we wait until things go to PNZ. I apologize to PNZ. We're not trying to throw more down that way to where I wonder if we should, and I don't know, Roger, what's the process there? This has gone to PNZ, waited over a year on part of this. Is it inappropriate to just take that back from PNZ and do it ourselves, or does it have to go to PNZ first?
They must make a recommendation to this board.
And I apologize to PNZ.
No action
recommendation is still a recommendation. I apologize to the Planning and Zoning Commission that this is getting thrown down to them potentially again when we want to deal with it. We're wanting to move things ahead. May not be in your favor or the opposition's favor, vice versa. But we're sitting again. We're going to go another several months doing nothing. And that's where you guys are both frustrated. We're starting to get frustrated when nothing's happening.
Eric?
Mr. Jerkins?
Why can't the Planning and Zoning hear it? What's the holdup?
Planning and Zoning can potentially hear it if we get to another venue, which we think we can make work. One of the big issues here is
to hear the logistics of that.
We're currently not taking applications, though.
Special use permit application. I mean, business is normal for a standard application, but any special use permits have not been accepted. So,
and why haven't we?
Because you had board action back when the COVID started.
Okay, so it's up to the board to change that so that somebody can move forward again?
Yeah, we can't do anything unless you guys
okay.
If we don't vote to start taking applications again, we could just stay the way it is now. They could start having their hearings. We didn't call that a moratorium, but that's what that was as well.
But I mean, on your kit, we have to move on, okay? This thing is going to run its course. I don't know why we've shut everything down. There's still construction. There's still business that's going to move on. I'm not talking about wind farms. I'm talking about other type of business, special use permits. I guess I don't know why there's a moratorium right now on all special use permits. That makes no sense to me.
There was pending discussion on potential changes to the zoning regulations. Because of the COVID, they weren't able to be heard because it was drawing crowds of several hundred people.
Well, that was, but you're basically talking about wind.
Wind only. Everything else, we just don't have that kind of population or that kind of interest in what we do. The only one that we had issues with was wind specifically with our public hearing process. I don't think there's any
concern.
We only
had one other special use permit come in this year, and that was for a public assembly building, and we got that knocked out before COVID came in. So, but logistically, finding a place should allow us to do good social distancing, a larger venue to host the text amendment hearing. That would be the goal as we move forward.
I would say find the building then, whatever we got to do. I mean, no need dragging our feet on it. Let's move forward. I don't know.
I think we have one now.
Okay.
And I guess as far as who comes first here, the text amendment got held up on the proper notification of the adjoining landowners, and that was no fault of the PNZ members, as I understand it. And I don't understand why it was held up so long, but certainly it should have been held a long time ago.
Lisa, do you know why that was held up? That was like an eight month hold.
So through the amendment process, Article 11, we're able to continue discussion and review on any changes within our amendments, or any proposed amendment or any part of our regulations. And so we continue to discuss, and board members continue to do their own diligence and research and so forth. And then it was at the March meeting that they decided, made a motion to move forward with hearing the text amendment.
So, Terry, I'd make that argument. I would say, since that would have been done prior to an application, that would be, I really think, in all fairness and due process is the term used, I would think that should be held, that should be talked about prior to, not saying any changes would be made, but we've got this goofy shutdown with COVID. No one's ever dealt with it. I would say that needs to be discussed and reviewed, and if changes or no changes are made, a recommendation would need to be made first.
Well, one of the other things from P&Z standpoint, too, they just spent 2 years discussing, having hearings on the same issues.
Okay. Once again, there's been a lot of new information.
Really, I mean, that's one of the things that I'm sure they're looking at, and they get tired.
If I remember correctly, at the time, the setback was a quarter mile, and I believe it was increased to 3/8 of a mile. Is that correct, Lisa?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
There's a lot of new information that has come about wind turbines, health effects, property values, and since in those few years. These turbines are different turbines. There's a lot of changes that have come, so it's time to review our regulations. That is in the regulations that you can review it. So it's time to review them before we jump into this. This is whole different. There's enough information that needs to be looked at again.
If this resolution, this cannot be passed, is what you're saying, is illegal 100% for sure. If this would be brought up, motioned, and passed, are you telling me this is 100%, you're 100% sure this is illegal?
There's no lawyer on the face of the earth that will give you 100% guarantee.
Well, that's what I'm looking for, though.
They don't use them. No, what I'm saying is,
success rate.
What I look at when I represent clients is keeping them out of court if at all possible. And listening to everything here, nobody's arguing that Mr. Alder doesn't come first. And then that we can get that locale and the P&Z people together, we're going to have that hearing, right? I mean, everybody's in agreement with that. Okay. What I'm saying is, now you're creating an issue with the moratorium that I don't think is needed. And that's my legal opinion. What if he goes in and files that application? Okay, is that going to be an issue that he can go into the courts and say, hey, I filed it, so the new ones, whatever they may be, they may not be anything, don't apply.
That would be my argument.
Well,
if I was,
you could make that argument, but again, my argument, that the other side of that is he's already grandfathered in based upon their conduct. That they've gone out, they've done work, they've done testing, they've bought leases, etc. So that gives them that grandfather stake, even though it's not on a date.
Let me.
And basically, what you saying, it's up to what you guys want to do. As far as 100%, no, I'm not giving you that. You're a good friend on that, but I'm not giving you that one. But I agree with what Mr. Bauman's saying is, I don't think anybody, even Mr. Levy's saying, he gets first back. And so we're going to address those issues, which are basically the setback. And there's some audio or
noise testing.
Yeah, and decibel things. And some testing. I think there are three basic things that I recall. Okay.
Which there's items that I don't even think there's argument between the developers and you all on the testing and stuff. There's just some
incidental changing the wording.
Yeah. Yes. So it's basically the setbacks, which was kind of the focal point. It will always be the focal point. That's, as long as you have things going up in the air, it's how far do I want to be away from that so I don't see it. But again, as I look at it, we're all in agreement on that, including Mr. Levy and his clients. let's get it set and move down the road. This one just likes it. The worst case scenario here is that Mr. Levy will run downstairs right now if you don't pass this and file an application. He's been told not to accept it.
Through your board action, currently. Okay. And that has stopped all my other...
That stopped all special use permits.
All special uses, yeah. Which I know creates a hardship for their hard landowners.
We'll deal with it. Because, again, I think once the date's done, then we get the hearing. So he has an opportunity.
Does anyone else have anything they'd like to say? Today we've let people come up.
Okay.
Thank you, Larry.
Questions?
Any questions for Larry first?
No, I guess what I'm hearing is the Texas Amendment is first, but if NextEra doesn't like what's the result of it, they're going to file on a grandfather clause.
That's exactly what I'm hearing, John, and that's not right. I don't see that's right.
And I don't see that right. With his process has started in BNZ already, in their March meeting.
Gary?
But that's been there since day one. I mean, when Larry first brought this up, we all knew that was a possibility from day one, that this was there. Just because Lisa and I had this discussion right away, just because they bring something forward doesn't mean that they're going to be able to stop this project.
Well, the unfortunate thing is, though, that the ridiculous amount of time, that's the rough part. But you're exactly right. This doesn't mean, irregardless of how anything goes today, it doesn't mean there will be any changes whatsoever.
Right. I understand that. I understand the process. We've been through it before. We've been through this process before. And then
I'm not trying to...
It took less than 3 months in Lancaster to get through this. Filed in December, and we're done by March 4th.
And the text amendment process should have been wrapped up months ago.
There you go.
Regardless of the outcome, and I agree with it. That's where I have the hard time with this when it's been this long.
Thank you, guys.
Thanks, Larry. Anyone else want to speak on this at all? Could you give us your name and address for the record?
Yes, I'm Leon Dieter. I'm 825 East Birch in Cortland. And I, too, agree that this has taken a ridiculous amount of time. I've also gone back through and noticed that the planning and zoning met four times last year in 19 rather than 12, which is not the fault of any of us. So that has also created, you know, delay. We would just like to be heard. The zoning... I've gone through the comprehensive plan. I've gone through the zoning regs in great detail. I think they do need to be reviewed. I think it is outdated. And there is a lot of changes in the wind industry. And I, as a homeowner, would like to see the amendment looked at in a timely manner. And I do believe that, yes, NextEra has been working on this project for a long time, too. But did they really have those leases in hand before our amendment was in hand? Those are...
And I mean, in all honesty, I don't think that matters, I mean, in the big scheme of things. Mm-hmm. But there's going to be those two sides. There's big money potentially coming to the school systems in Gage County. There's people that don't want to see wind turbines. Mm-hmm. There's going to be the conflict there.
Right. And I also think a venue that holds just 100 people will not be enough.
I agree.
I think you have to be looking at a venue that's going to hold a couple hundred to be fair to everybody.
Well, probably more than that.
Yeah, it could be, yes. Thank you.
Thank you. So what I heard was this could be passed today or it could not be passed today. We have a resolution.
It could be tabled.
It could be tabled to a different time.
That's what Dakota County did.
We don't have a motion for it, so I guess, is there any other discussion on this? Mr. Jurgens?
Not on what you're discussing now, but I mean, Lisa, how soon and when can we get the P&Z together?
ideally with proper notification, probably the last week in July. We have fair in between. I know three of my board members will be involved with that. So either the 1st of August or the last week in July, probably a Tuesday or Wednesday.
If you have a plan on it, let's get going.
Depending upon the availability of the logistics.
That's something we want to move forward on regardless.
So will you be, I have to ask one more question, have direction for me today on any other special uses?
We will shortly. There's we actually have an agenda item just particularly for that. So we will have. Okay, I guess I will ask then, do we have a motion to approve or approve the resolution before us to study existing zoning regulations related to wind energy? This is the paperwork in front of you. Roger said another county tabled. It may or may not be legal. No one seems to know. Mr. Jurgens?
I make a motion we will table this resolution for now.
We have a motion to table the current resolution.
Second.
Moved by Jurgens. Second by Lytle. Do we have any discussion on this? Mr. Lytle?
I guess the only thing I'm going to say is what is the reason for tabling it? Why not just move on?
Move on as in...
I'm sure you're looking at me like, well, why'd you say it? Well,
no, I'm not.
Mean, Terry will put it out there, table, right. Let's have a discussion.
I mean, to have, not go ahead, is that what you're saying, Gary? With this resolution, just
give it an up or down vote or no vote at all.
Yeah, it's
vote on it or vote against it, one or two.
If we don't want to, I mean, we can vote on tabling it. That would put it onto another agenda.
Any specific agenda, or can that be?
Roger, can that be tabled at any time, or does that go to our next agenda?
You can table it until the next meeting or the two meetings down the road, whichever. You can pick it, or you can, if you do a motion to table, it is tabled until brought up on the agenda again, which is at your choice, or I believe there's two of you, of the other board members, can request an agenda item. I could be wrong on the two, but there's a couple of different ways it can be brought up. You could put it on any time, or you can put a specific date. You can kick it down the road for August until after that. And see if Lisa can get them all together.
Lisa can go ahead and schedule for you.
That'll be a call I'll make on the direction.
Do you want a specific time, or just table it in general and we'll leave it set?
I mean, this can always be brought back up again if it's voted down. I would just like to change my motion, and I would like to make a motion to not adopt this resolution.
A motion to disapprove this.
That's correct.
Motion.
Yes.
I agree. Second.
Okay, so we have a motion by Jurgens, second by Lytle, to disapprove this motion. So a vote in favor would be to reject this resolution. A vote against would be to adopt this resolution. The motion is to disapprove. So a vote in favor says no to the resolution. A vote against says yes to the resolution. Thanks for making that more difficult, Terry. Mr. Bellman, a second to review this.
Vote.
Are you ready?
I'm just looking at our standard rules with regard to tabling motions.
Do you have any, do you need to look at anything on? But the table motion is gone now. This is strictly on this motion.
This is approval or disapproval of the resolution.
Right. So a vote no is for yes, and a vote yes is to get rid of it. All right. I'd ask you to vote. Five in favor of disapproving with two voting nay, Hill and Thiemann voting nay. Motion carries to disapprove the resolution. Up next, approve or disapprove accepting special use permits for all other purposes other than wind and solar permits. Moved by Bauman, second by Juergens. Any discussion on this? This one along with the last, Mr. Juergens.
Basically, I understand the seriousness of the COVID crisis, shall we call it, but I understand the seriousness of businesses being closed and shut down that might never return. What we're doing is saying no more special use business, whatever you want to call it, in Gage County with this resolution that's on the books right now. We have to move forward. That's what I'm saying, instead of backwards.
Any other discussion?
I'm sorry, can I just ask a question, please?
Yes.
Thank you. So the item on the agenda says approve or disapprove accepting special use permits for all other purposes other than wind and solar permits. Does that mean that if you approve this, you'd accept all special use permits, but you would continue not accepting special use permits for wind and solar?
That's what it means. Yes. And what I would say is we need to put that on the agenda for 2 weeks, you know, as to what we do with wind and solar.
But we're right back to adopting a moratorium, effectively.
And I guess that's right. And, you know, you stated your intent. You're going to be grandfathered in if you don't like the results of the text amendment. So I'm not sure what the holdup is. And
well, because we have a right to file an application for a use that your zoning regulations allow. You're singling out one land use that is legal under state law and legal under Gage County law and saying, yeah, but we're not going to let you apply for it. That's not right. That's not legal, and it's not right. It's discrimination against one particular land use.
And I guess
I'm sorry. With all respect, this is not right.
What I would say to that is if you can't give us 2 weeks to see if we can come to a resolution on this, then you need to file a lawsuit. But I would hope you would give us 2 weeks to come to a resolution on this.
And if it's 2 weeks and that's in the motion, I will agree to that out of deference and respect for this board. But I haven't heard anything about 2 weeks. If that's the motion, that on July 15th you will begin accepting special use permit applications for wind and solar, then I'm all for it.
That'd be the motion.
I'll withdraw my motion.
Again, Mr. Chairman, thank you for letting me speak. I want to be very clear about what we're doing here today.
Yeah, I think it's very good that we're on the record exactly where you stand.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Yes, that's fine.
Thank you. David Bargan again with Rembel Lucky Law Firm on behalf of the landowners. What Mr. Levy says is not correct. You have authority under your zoning regulations to put a temporary hold on particular permits if you wish. And this happens all the time. Where there is some controversy, some issue, some discussion to be had about the regulations, it's perfectly allowable under law. So I think what you're seeing here is that there is this attempt to get set to have this application filed, and that's what's happening. So I think if your motion were to remain to allow other special use permits except for wind and solar, that's perfectly legitimate and defensible. So any questions on
Um, still have on the agenda, so we have a withdrawn motion in a second. Approve or disapprove accepting special use permits for all their purposes other than wind and solar permits. As of now.
I would move to approve with the condition that we place on the agenda for July 15th that we approve or disapprove solar and wind permits.
Approve or disapprove taking solar and wind permits that will be on the agenda
for July 15th.
We have a motion by Hill to accept all their special use permits currently other than wind and solar. And we will vote on, we'll have it on our agenda July 15th to accept wind or and or solar permits. Mr. Jurgens.
This motion then would say as of after the vote, other types of special use permits could go ahead. Wind and solar couldn't until 2 weeks.
2 weeks we would vote on them specifically. Okay. Correct, John?
Yes.
We have a motion by Hill. Do we have a second?
Second.
Second by Jurgens. Any discussion on this? I would still argue this resolution that was brought forward is legal. That's my opinion. I'm not a lawyer. I want to see the Planning and Zoning Commission want to be able to move forward on this. Even before voting on this, I'll specifically tell you to schedule your hearings to start moving forward there. We'll come up with venues. If you need help, let me know. But we need to get things moving again. Any other discussion on this specific item? Moved by Hill, second by Jurgens, to begin accepting special use permits immediately with wind and solar permits to be voted on specifically on July 15th. I'd ask you to vote 7 in favor. The motion carries. Anything else for the good of the order? Seeing none, I'd ask for a motion to adjourn.
So move.
Moved by Dorn. Second by Jurgens. Vote. 2. 5 in favor with Bauman and Lytle voting no. Is this a